today's liturgy of the word, we really hear about the characteristics of discipleship. In fact, in the second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, he really outlines a summary of what the Christian life is all about and of what discipleship is all about. And that is, St. Paul says that when we are baptized, we are dead to sin and we are reborn into Christ, which is the beginning then of a new life whereby we live with Jesus, we suffer with Jesus, we die with Jesus, all so that we can rise with Jesus. That really is a synopsis of the Christian life, to be able to die to oneself in order to live fully to Christ, for Christ. In today's gospel, we hear Jesus outlining various conditions or characteristics of discipleship. And I think there's four of them in particular there that we can recount and reflect upon. The first one is that Jesus says we are called to love Him, we're called to love God more than anyone, even our own family. Those may be hard words to hear to a certain degree, but it really is the defining characteristic of discipleship, that the love of God comes before the love of neighbor, it comes before the love of family. I suppose there's two perspectives that one could understand this better. And the first one is to be able to understand what it means to have a subordinate goal or an underlying goal which is pointing toward a greater mission or an even greater goal. Imagine, for example, someone who is playing the sport of hockey. Of course, you play hockey for fun, but if you're playing professionally, the purpose of the game is ultimately to try and win. You have players on the team who are forwards who are trying to score goals. You have defense who are trying to prevent goals. Now imagine a forward who has a game and he scores 3 goals, but his team loses 6-3. After the game, if he is in the dressing room celebrating and saying, "Isn't this fantastic? I scored 3 goals. This was the best game ever." Everybody else in the room will be looking at him saying, "What is wrong with you? The purpose of our game was to try and win the game, not just for you to score 3 goals. In other words, him scoring the goals is needed in order to try and win the game. It is a necessary part of it, but it's subordinate or it's underneath the goal of trying to actually win the game itself. In a similar way, the love of our family, the love of neighbor, it is a necessary goal that we have to be able to live in this life. And Jesus is not telling us not to do that. In fact, it is a necessary part of it. It's just, it is subordinate or it's underneath the goal of loving God and living for Him. In other words, the love of family is meant to point toward the love of Christ. It is meant to lead there. And the second perspective or way to look at it would be the classic definition of love is willing the good for the other. Now, in the case of our family and members of our family whom we love, and of course we would will all sorts of different goods for them, the greatest good that we would ever will for them is the good of eternal life, to be eternally happy. And yet we know in and of ourselves we do not have the power to grant that gift, but we know someone who does, namely Jesus Christ, namely God. And therefore the greatest way to love the people we love is to love them in Christ, because He is the only one who can satisfy the deepest longings and desires of our heart. And therefore, this condition of discipleship, to love God above all else, or to love Jesus even more than our family, it really is a necessary part of following Him, and it is really the best way to love our family, because it is ordering that relationship toward our ultimate goal, which is to live in communion with God. The second condition or characteristic of discipleship that Jesus gives in today's gospel is to be able to take up our cross and follow Him. Of course, the cross is a sacred symbol in our faith because it is the instrument of salvation on which the full magnitude of the love of God for us was manifested in Jesus' sacrifice of giving Himself completely in love in order to save us for our sins. And therefore, the cross, or the challenges and sufferings and difficulties that we may encounter in life, whatever they may be and whatever their cause or origin may be, it really is our opportunity to share in that one redemptive saving sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And therefore, when we are able to joyfully bear our cross and make an interior act of our will to unite that with the one saving cross of Jesus Christ, in a very real way, we are able to participate in the mission of Jesus. We are able to participate in the work of salvation, and we therefore are discipling Jesus and following him. I suppose the irony is we are all destined for suffering in this world, namely because we were not meant to live here forever and we will therefore have to pass through death. But the only way that that suffering is going to have merit or value is if we make that interior act of the will to unite it to Jesus and to follow him. And so this is that second characteristic or condition of discipleship, to willingly bear our cross, to take it up daily, and to be able to accept it joyfully, not just as a challenge or something to suffer through, but even to look at it as an opportunity to unite ourselves to Christ and to be able to share in his saving mission. The third characteristic of discipleship that Jesus gives is he says, whoever finds his life will ultimately lose it, and whoever loses his life for the sake of Christ will find it. And what Jesus means by that is the great illusion in life that unfortunately many can fall into is, I am going to find personal happiness when I am able to do whatever it is that I want to do, and when I can maximize my opportunities and access to be able to do whatever I want to do. Which in many ways is going to be to live selfishly or to live for oneself. And in that sense, if you find yourself in that position where this is what you're searching and you are at the center of your own life, you're going to lose it in the sense you will never find happiness going down that road. Conversely, the one who loses his life for the sake of Jesus is the one who is able to say, I recognize that Jesus is the origin and the source of life, that he is the goal and the purpose of life, and therefore I bind myself or I give myself completely to following in his footsteps, to following in his path. And even though in a sense I'm losing myself for the sake of living his life, I'm ultimately finding happiness and satisfaction and fulfillment in life. And the reason is, this is precisely what we were created for. None of us made ourselves. We didn't create ourselves. We were born into this world. We were created by God. And the purpose and meaning of our life is ultimately given from the one who created us. We were made for his love, and therefore it only makes sense the path to happiness and fulfillment is to follow the path of Jesus, which is precisely this path of love. And the fourth and final characteristic of discipleship that we see in today's gospel is Jesus says, whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to a little one because he is a disciple will not lose his reward. And this here we can see a unity that exists between Jesus and his disciples. In the first place, for the one who accepts or who receives a disciple of Jesus, they are in a very real way receiving Jesus himself because he is the one who is being followed. In other words, there's a unity between Christ and his followers. And in that unity, there really is a participation in the mission of the other. The disciple shares and participates in the mission of Christ, and for the ones who assist and facilitate the mission of the disciples, they too then are united to that very same ministry and act of saving worship in Jesus Christ. I think as a priest, we are able in a particular way to experience this part of the gospel in a very beautiful way. Of course, being a priest is a rather unique vocation in the world today. And there are, of course, some who despise or do not like you simply because you are a priest and a follower of Christ. But for other disciples and people who follow Christ, many of them participate and support our mission in a way which is really quite incredible. And it really is a way of sharing in that one mission of Jesus Christ, whereby in supporting one who is out there in the field working in the vineyard of the Lord, it is a way that the person themselves is sharing in that exact same mission. In a very real way, when we are united with each other in that aspect, we are all working together and collaborating in the vineyard of the Lord, united to that one mission of Jesus. And so these really are then the characteristics or conditions of discipleship that Jesus lays out, which is summarized by that formula of St. Paul. In baptism, we die to ourselves to be born for Christ. We live with him, we die with him all so that we can rise with him. I suppose it would be very fitting as well to conclude this homily by pointing out that these weren't just words that St. Paul spoke, but it really was the life that St. Paul lived. He was blinded on the road to Damascus when he had his encounter with Christ. And there St. Paul, reflecting on that experience years later, said, "It was as if everything I knew before that was a loss to what I had gained in Christ." For St. Paul, his baptism, when he regained his sight, it really was a rebirth, a reopening of his eyes in Jesus Christ, and a dying to his old self in order to live completely for Christ. And that is exactly what St. Paul did. He gave everything to living his mission in life to be able to proclaim the word. He preached Jesus Christ. And Paul knew that in his discipling of Jesus that he would suffer. In fact, he was told that, and he willingly embraced the cross. St. Paul, we know, was shipwrecked. He was stoned practically to death. He was rejected. He was despised. 3 times he was beaten by the 39 lashes and rods. He was imprisoned a couple of times, and ultimately he was beheaded and martyred, all for the sake of Christ. And Paul knew this taking up of his cross was simply a part of the manifestation of his love for Christ and of his following him. St. Paul, in a very real way, lost his own life for the sake of Jesus, and in doing it was completely united to his mission and to his life and to his resurrection. My brothers and sisters, as we go forward in today's liturgy, let us ask God for the grace that we would always have the courage and perseverance to live up to the fullness of discipleship, that we would love Jesus above all else, that we would take up our cross on a daily basis, united to the cross of the Lord, and follow him, that we would be willing to lose our life, to die to our own selfishness and egoism, to live the life of Jesus Christ, to find it in him, and that in being united to one another, in receiving one another in Jesus Christ, we would all participate in that one saving mission of the Lord Jesus to redeem us on the cross.